Turn to Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at redemption and deliverance because they're connected. Chapter 3 of Romans, and we're going to begin in verse 9. And it says, "What then? Are we better than they?" And he's talking about Jews being better than Gentiles. "In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And that concerns mankind, right? Yep. All of mankind. Everybody is born with a sin nature. All sin. And, you know, he wrote this, and concerning the Jews, of course, they thought, well, we have the law and we're circumcised, so we're righteous. But that's not exactly how it worked out because, you know, even though it was a sign to Abraham of his righteousness and the promises he made to Israel, it was a sign of, you know, the coming Messiah. And why was Abraham counted as righteous? Because he believed, which the Jews didn't always do, did they? So then it goes on in verse 19. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So, you know, and what does it say about the time before the law? God winked at him. There was still sin. Certainly, you know, when Cain killed Abel, that was sin. You know, there was some knowledge of what was right and what was wrong. And so, but when he made the law, then, you know, there were a lot of details and there were a lot of things that, you know, people didn't do and they realized they were not on the ball. They were not doing what God wanted them to do. The word justified says, "No flesh shall be justified in his sight." The word justified is the same word that would be could be translated made righteous, right? They're the same words. And so you can't be righteous or made righteous or justified by the works of the law. But now, verse 21, "The righteousness of God," or the justice of God without the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness or justice of God, which is by believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So there is no difference. Righteousness was available by believing of Jesus Christ, you know, concerning Jesus Christ, what he did, and you believed on him and you became righteous. Now, just and righteous mean the same thing. I told you that. In English, many times there's more than one word that translates the Greek or Hebrew. So, you know, they can be translated. The word that's translated righteousness or justice is the same word. And that happens sometimes in the Word of God. You have to remember that. The word righteousness originated in the Old English from a word that was, I don't know how it was pronounced, it was spelled R-I-H-T-W-I-S, rightwis. Mm-hmm. And the word just came from the French, juste, or which also came from the Latin, which was justice, J-U-S-T-U-S, meaning right law. That's what it meant. Okay, so those words, you know, had different origins, but in English, they all come back to what the word is in Greek. So So it says, you know, that we all believe in Jesus Christ, we're made righteous. Where'd I leave off?
22.
For even the righteousness of God, which is by believing of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no difference, meaning Jew or Gentile, right? Doesn't matter what your background is, what your education was, but you were made righteous. Being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, I skipped verse 23, yes, didn't I? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Kind of similar to what it said in verse 9. So nobody's exempted from that. And the only way out of that is to believe in Jesus Christ. And then it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. So it was free. It was by grace. But it was by the redemption of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, now, there was a redemption of sort, but it was only temporary and limited, right? So if you made a sin, if you sinned in some way or another, there was a way in the law, usually, where you could atone for that sin by offering a sacrifice and doing, you know, maybe certain other things, depending on what that sin was, as long as it wasn't a sin unto death. You know, like if you murdered somebody, then they stoned you. If you did some other things, you got stoned. You know, there was no atoning for that. but they could, if they did what was required, they were redeemed. They were made just in the sight of the law by a payment, right? They paid that sacrifice, and they may have had to do something else, like they may have had to do cleansing or, you know, one of those things, washings and cleansings and staying away, you know, in certain instances for a couple of days and so on and so forth. You can read it through. So it was a cost for a person of an animal or a sacrifice and whatever else was required. See, that's how they redeemed themselves. Our redemption was paid by Jesus Christ. The word redemption actually means kind of like a payment, a buying back or a setting free by payment of a ransom. So in the case of us, you know, our payment was paid for us, right? When we sin or we have sinned and we've all been sinners at times, that payment was made by Jesus Christ, by his blood, by his sacrifice, by what he did. So a ransom is a payment for redemption. This redemption and the ensuing righteousness or justice is free because Jesus Christ paid the ransom, redeemed us, and we were made righteous as a result. Pretty great, huh? Let's go to 1 Peter. You know, sometimes we just want to do things for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't redeem yourself. You can't pay the price. You can't justify yourself before God except to believe in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of men, tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was now manifest in these last times for you." So, you know, back in the beginning, when Adam sinned, God knew that God needed redemption. And so that was his plan of redemption that we see coming to pass throughout the whole Old Testament and in the Gospels and, you know, culminating with his sacrifice, his death, and then with his resurrection. What a great thing, huh? We can't do it because it was already done for us. You know, think about it. If you get a gift at Christmas time, do you take it back to the store and pay again? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? That's kind of what it is when we try to get our own righteousness or try to pay for our own redemption. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think this is a great thing to think about. And it says in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He paid that price. He redeemed us by paying the ransom. That's how he redeemed us. You know, if you ever hawked anything at a pawn shop, have you ever done that? Probably not. But if you do, the way it works is you take whatever valuable you have in. It's a great place to buy a watch, by the way, because you get really good, expensive watches very cheaply. But they give you amount, right? They give you obviously what is less than what it's worth. And then you have so many days to go back and to redeem it. And you have a ticket. And you go and you pay the ticket plus, you know, a charge, right? They got to make something on it. So it's like an interest. You're borrowing money and you're giving them collateral. So it's kind of like how a bank works, except, you know, you give them a physical collateral, something worth something. And then when you redeem it, you get it back. When Adam sinned, we became the possession of the devil. And Jesus Christ paid the ransom or, redeemed us by paying the ransom and bought us back. What a great thing. So, you know, it says here there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting, the Muslims, you know. The Muslims didn't come into existence until around 600 A.D., you know, and yet they claim that they have the answer. But they discount Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to heaven. And they're never looking to get to heaven. They're always looking to get to paradise. So they didn't even understand that. Anyway, Romans chapter 3 again. If you worked your whole life, saved every penny you ever had, God love you. Hit the lottery. Built the biggest financial empire the world has ever seen, you still couldn't buy your redemption. You know, that's how valuable it is, that's how priceless it is, and that's how valuable God's Son's blood was. It was priceless. Verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Propitiation means, well, it's a really interesting word. Sometimes people just say it means payment, but The technical word is expiation, whatever that means. But it really is the same thing as in the Old Testament when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. You know, he had to sprinkle blood, and that was what atoned for the sins of Israel for that year. And of course, they had to do it every year. So their redemption and their atonement was, you know, just a temporary thing. But that propitiation means the sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat. Pretty cool. And it's through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness or the righteousness of God or the justice for the remission of sins, the washing away of sins that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness or his justness that he might be just That's speaking about God and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. See? It's God that justifies us when we believe in Jesus Christ. When we believe on his blood, he justifies us. He makes us whole. Now, go to Romans chapter 10. This is where the deliverance comes in. And you all know these verses, 9 and 10. It says, "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved."
Saved. And that word saved means to be made whole or delivered. You know, so when we believe on Jesus Christ, we're made righteous, we're redeemed, and we're delivered. Because he paid for it all already. Then it goes on to say, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, wholeness, and deliverance." Pretty great. That's the only way you can get it. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Well, let's read verse 13. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Speaking of Jesus Christ, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." How much iniquity did he redeem us from? All of it. So if you feel bad about whatever you've done, wherever you came from, it was already forgiven. He's redeemed us from all iniquity. All iniquity. That's pretty great. "And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." He purified us unto himself. A peculiar people means special people. Some places in the Old Testament that were peculiar, it means a treasure. You know, so we're a treasure to him. We're a special people. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. So we're redeemed from all iniquity. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says in verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Well, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you want to know about the curse of the law has to do with sickness, has to do with infirmity. Just go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a section that's called the blessings and the cursings. And the blessings are pretty short, but they're pretty dynamic. And the cursings go on. But we're redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, he didn't just redeem us from sin. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from all iniquity. What a great God. What an amazing thing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us." You know, it's deliverance, right? "Hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of or by his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or the remission of sins." So we were redeemed, and we were redeemed out of the darkness into the light, and we have total forgiveness of sins. What a great thing that is. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. And you probably all, you know, think about your redemption or know what redemption is. But when you read about it, you really realize how far-reaching it was and how dynamic it is and how incredible it was and how it's free and how great that righteousness is that we have and that standing before our Father because of, you know, Jesus Christ was a great Savior because we were great sinners. But that redemption is so far-reaching and so total and so complete, we never have to consider again that we have to pay for anything. We can accept it and live for God. Chapter 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And this is the second redemption. See, the first redemption is we get born again. We receive Holy Spirit. We get eternal life. We have remission of sins. We're no more iniquity. We're purified unto him. We're delivered from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But when he comes back, our bodies are redeemed and we get our new body.
Amen.
See? That's the second redemption. And that's really a cool redemption. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, I believe. It says, let's go back to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So, you know, God sealed us up with his Holy Spirit, and that's our guarantee so that when Christ comes back, he redeems us. That's the purchased possession. He purchased us with his blood, right? That was what he paid for so that we have it. So that's why we don't have, that's why we don't preach sin. Because, you know, Jesus Christ paid for the sin. What we preach is the blessings of God, the power of God, the love of God. We look forward to that hope of the return. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 30. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It means don't make God sad. And the context is renew your mind, put on the new man. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And the day of the return of Christ is also called the day of redemption, because then we are redeemed back. We get the full everything. You know, that's the total thing when it comes to pass. We have everything at that point in time. It's the day of redemption. We look forward to it. So, Father God, we thank you for your love and your redemption for us and that what you did for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, how you paid that incredible price for each and every one of us. And that redemption includes deliverance and it includes wholeness and remission of sins. And we're redeemed out of the darkness of this world into your light. So we just thank you, Father, for the joy it is to be your children, to walk with you and talk with you, and to look forward to the day we're seated at your right hand with your Son, Jesus Christ. And in this we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.